I hereby introduce to you, Mr. Michael Veazey.
First, a word from our sponsors, Amazing FBA. Yes, folks, I am sponsoring my own show. And this one, by the way, is just for the Brits, British listeners. Quick question for you. I've personally spent over £10,000 over the last couple of decades, going from pitch fest to overpriced seminar to so-called workshop. And in each case, I've come out excited. I've gone away thinking I'm going to change my life. Then the excitement's gradually fizzled out. And then I've changed nothing and I've got no more money than I started with. My question is, have you ever done the same? If so, then stop blaming yourself. It's not your fault. It's just not how reality works. Now, there is one thing that all the successful Amazon sellers that I know, public or private, the famous gurus and the privately successful ones, have in common. And I'm going to tell you at the end of this episode what that is. Now, if you want to have a bit of a serious clue, then go to amazonmastermind.co.uk and find out more there. Meanwhile, on with the show. Hello, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome back to Amazing FBA. Sorry that I have been unavailable on your screens. I'm sure you've been thirsting for the knowledge, but we're back in business. And as Dana Derrick says, go big or go home. Dana is back to tell us how to charge crazy amounts of money for everything we sell and get it, which is fantastic news. So Dana, welcome back to the show.
Hey, great to be here. Thanks for having me back. I can't believe you let me back in.
Let you back in, dude. It's a pleasure to have you back. I mean, you know, I think a lot of the principles that you teach around Amazon listing optimization specifically, I've been trying to pass on to a lot of mentoring clients and mastermind members recently, which is why I've been so busy running that. And if anyone wants to check that out, just go to amazingfba.com and you'll see the links under paid programs at the top if you're interested in that, by the way. But, you know, that stuff has been invaluable. That's really helped me with my listings and helped my clients get some great results. So you're extremely welcome back. So, Dana, tell us about your latest mega project and how that's going to help the listeners.
So I have kind of positioned myself as the guy that sells his stuff for way more than everybody else. So before I retired my service, I was working with Amazon sellers. That's how I gained most of my knowledge in the Amazon space was I was helping them to optimize their listings, and everybody else was charging to do the same, you know, quote unquote, the same thing, even though theirs wasn't near what mine was, but they were charging about $500 for their service. And I was charging 10,000. So it's not even comparable. And then, I've been doing this for a long time. And then I started creating books that taught how to do it and kind of scale what I was doing and get the wealth of knowledge into more people's hands. And instead of selling my books for $20 a copy, I sell them for $400, $1,000, even $2,000 or more per copy. So that's kind of what I've been up to. And then the latest master project is I now teach people how to do that, how to sell their items for what they're actually worth. So that's the big thing I've been kind of working on.
Excellent. By the way, you have very intriguing background there. I can see all these whiteboards behind you with numbers all over them. I'm absolutely intrigued. But if it's relevant, you can tell us what that's about. But it may be a red hang. I'm a big whiteboard fan myself. So,
it's a mess. That one has all my to-do list items for the next 30 days. And I actually modeled that from I was working with Russell Brunson in his office. And I'm trying to secretly figure out, okay, what does he do to be productive and stuff? And he literally had an easel with a paper, and on it he had a checklist of all the things he had to do over the next 30 days. And then every day he came in, he crossed off whatever day it was and then wrote down 29 days, 28. So I've modeled that. That's all the stuff I got to get done.
Nice. I like it. Well, it's a little side hint, but it's actually pretty major, because I think time management systems are something I revisit every so often because it's so crucial. I mean, we all have 24 hours a day. And Russell Brunson, if you haven't come across him, guys, the founder of ClickFunnels, which is just monsterly large these days and in the internet marketing space, suddenly it's everywhere. So check it out. And yeah, definitely worth modeling. So Dana, coming back to your thing, what is it you're exactly working on these days then in terms of selling really high ticket stuff?
I just finished up my latest book, and it is teaching people. It's exposing exactly how I go about selling my stuff for 10 times, 100 times, whatever my competitors do. And it walks through exactly the process of doing it, because it's selling in general. Most people think it's a singular event. It's not. It's a process, right? It's so much similar to dating. It's scary. So selling is not asking to get married on the first date. That's what most people do, but it shouldn't be. There's a lot of stuff that goes into it. There's dating, there's, you know, getting engaged, and then there's finally, you know, marriage. So it's very similar in a sense of like giving them tremendous value along the way. So that by the time, here's the other thing is like, I would never get on a knee and ask to propose to someone if I didn't think they'd say yes. So it should be so ready. It's like a kind of like an apple tree. Like you plant the seed and then you water it and then you watch it grow. You keep watering it, water it, water it. And you can see the apples budding. And if it's not ready, you know, you can yank it off, right? You can, but it's going to taste kind of crappy and tart, not ripe. On the flip side, if it's ripe and perfectly ripe, it should pretty much fall into your hand. And then on the other end of the spectrum, if it's overripe, it'll fall off. And if you do nothing, it'll rot. So it's kind of finding that balance, and it's really not that complicated. So that's kind of what I've been, I just finished my latest book called High Ticket Book Secrets that outlays the entire process.
So. Wow. Excellent. So a couple of things. My first of all, I like your, it's a very farmer's analogy. It's growing. It's got this sort of ripe fruit growing in there. Like it. I think Jim Rohn would be proud of you. the second thing is that just to ask about, is this just for internet entrepreneurs or people selling books, or is this relevant for Amazon sellers?
Great question. So it's for anybody and everybody. So you're just 100% an Amazon seller, which worked with that over 1,000 in my career. There's absolutely no reason that you can't charge what you should for your products and service or products. Because mainstream like people make you want to think that the only reason people buy stuff is based on price. Because there are a percentage of people that shop based on price alone. They don't care. But there's another percentage of people that shop the other way, and that's on quality. So for example, like let's say we were both selling a flashlight. And your flashlight was $10 and mine was $70, right? There's a percentage of people who are going to buy the $70 one. And let's say it was the identical flashlight, because people correlate price with value. It's kind of weird how that works. So they think, you know, I could be holding two flashlights behind my back and say one's a $10 one, one's a $70 one. And they could be the same exact flashlight. And I would ask, you know, which one do you think is better? Everyone's going to say the $70 one. Why? Because it's priced at $70. So it's kind of funky how there's that little psychology thing, and there's like these little things, that nuances that actually make all the difference, and are these little tweaks that can enable sellers to make 2, 3, 5 times as much off the same products.
Great. Well, so that certainly convinced me that, you know, that's really relevant. And it's interesting what you say about price as a positioning tool. And also, I guess it's a different market, right? Some people always want the cheapest. Some people are looking for a blend of value and price, and some people just want the best, quotes, unquotes, as in the best perceived by them. So talk us through it a bit. I mean, basically, I know you can't reveal all your secrets in a $2,500 book, or you'd have to come out and kill us all for stealing them. But that's badly put, but you know what I mean. If it's that big a secret, but I mean, can you talk us through the process that you would go through to specifically for Amazon sellers to, you know, line up a really high price, consistently high price sales?
Yeah, definitely. So the first and most practical thing that like I, as a seller did, and I advise anybody that I teach and coach or mentor, is differentiate. Okay. Cause like if you, and that sounds simple, but like I'm talking like make your thing as valuable as it can possibly be. So if you're selling that flashlight, add, you know, include a carrying case, include a warranty, include like, you know, accessories, like make it a, like an amazing thing. It's not just a flashlight anymore. So all of a sudden, like, if this flashlight comes with 6 different things and a warranty and all that stuff, like, you can't really price shop, because the others, until they catch up to that and offer something similar to that, like, it's not even, it's, you want to always want to be making apples to oranges comparisons, with your product versus your competitors. And that way, I mean, instantly you can afford to charge a whole lot more.
Makes total sense. Yeah. So I guess a couple of things to reflect on that. I mean, in my experience, when you look at some search results pages with certain types of categories, everything's like a black plastic widget that looks the same. So it's easy to differentiate your thing. And yeah, in that case, that's super easy to differentiate with just a bundle. Now, in other markets, you're going to have quite a lot of varieties of stuff. And then, as you say, it's harder to make apple to apples comparison. What would you do in a situation like that to make sure that, you know, if everyone's charging around, say, $25 for a flashlight plus batteries plus a carry case plus, you know, everyone's doing warranty. So it's quite a mature market, in other words. What would you do in a situation like that to get a higher price?
So what I would do, so here, this would come back to like listing, the listing optimization. And I would say I would be with my copy. So let's say everything's the same. We have no way to differentiate ourselves other than the copy, like the product itself. Everybody's copied us to the exact, like everything, right? Which happens. So I would start price anchoring. Right. So the two things I do, I price anchor to something other than a flashlight, other than what I'm directly competing with. Right. So for example, here's a good analogy. So most people, when they come, so I have a very high level mastermind called the Goat Farm Mastermind, and it's very expensive. And instead of, it's like three times as much, fancy that, as every other mastermind. Right. So instead of price anchoring myself and comparing to the other masterminds, I compare it and price anchor to other things like, oh, how much did you pay in your college tuition? Huh? Well, this is cheaper than that. And you know, you're going to get a whole lot more out of it. Right. So instantly they're like, huh, that does make sense. I went and paid that much for schooling that really didn't get me anywhere. Whereas I could, you know, do this. Then it's not, oh, that's more expensive. It's actually, oh, that's cheaper. Right. That's number one. Number two, is what was it? Differentiation, price anchoring. It'll come back.
Don't
to
worry,
me.
We'll come back to you if you think of it. But let's just have a think. But I mean, one thing that's striking me about that is the price anchoring thing. Tell me a bit more how you would price anchor. I can see about your goat farm thing, because obviously people will pay tens of thousands of dollars or hundreds now in America, and it's becoming like that in the UK as well for higher education or school, as you call it, in America. So how does that work in the realm of physical products? Because obviously if it's a flashlight, as you say, or a torch, as we'd call it here, it's kind of going to be hard to anchor that to, you know, something worth tens of thousands. What would, give you an example of how you would do that with a flashlight or similar product?
Good question. Okay. I remember that the second thing was throwing rocks. Okay. So
yeah. Okay, tell us about rocks in a second. Okay. Let's deal with this.
Okay. We'll come back to that. Okay. So throwing rocks means, you're basically pointing out the shortcomings of any other option. So most people think it means you're throwing rocks at your competitors, which is part of it, yes. But I'll reveal the number one, who is your number one competitor on planet Earth? It's not who you think it is. It's your customer doing nothing. Like, that's the number one thing that your customers end up doing that you're competing against. Because more of them are going to end up not buying or doing nothing than buying your product or your competitors, right? So I always throw rocks, yes, at a competitor, and especially if I'm positioning myself as higher quality so I can justify the higher price, then I'll definitely throw rocks at the cheap knockoffs all the time. But also, I throw rocks at them doing nothing. So you find out what the reasons they bought the flashlight are, and the benefits of it, obviously. So what I find is, okay, maybe it's they want to their teenager is driving now and they want to have a spare in the car, right? So I'm calling out, like, don't leave your loved one in the dark or, like, you know, unsafe. So I'm not calling out, don't buy that, guys, anymore. I'm in addition to that, I'm saying, don't not buy it, right? Because that's like one of the little, another little nugget nuance that, like, really add up to make this work really well. And then back to your question, Michael, how do you price anchor a flashlight, right? So what I would do is kind of explain the cost. So it's actually kind of a good lead into this. So remember, we're throwing rocks at competitors, right? We're also throwing rocks at doing nothing. We want them to realize how expensive it is for them to not buy it. It's kind of an interesting thought, right? Like, they think, okay, I'm saving $70 if I don't buy it. no, actually, you're going to end up spending way more if you don't have, you know, this flashlight for what, like, whenever you need it for whatever reason you bought it. If that makes sense. So I guess it's not like that tangible. We can't, you know, if you want to, you can anchor it to something. And I just kind of pulled this out of thin air. I'm not in the flashlight space, but another option that's way more expensive. So I always look at the full set of options. Okay. So when somebody, here's a good example, like weight loss. Okay. So if somebody wanted to lose weight and we were going to sell them a supplement like a Garcinia Cambogia or something, right? We are not just comparing ourselves to other Garcinias. Like, that's not the only option. There's the treadmill sellers. There's the personal trainers. There's the nutritionists. There's the doctors. There's the other supplements. There's the, you know, the list goes on and on. Okay. So all you have to do is, once you can start thinking that way, oh crap, that's easy. I'm way cheaper than a treadmill or an exercise program. So now I'm going to anchor myself to that other option that still scratches the same itch, but is far more expensive. That makes mine look like a much better deal. That makes sense.
Makes total sense. And I love what you've touched on there. It's something that I keep banging my mastermind members over the head, which is everyone's looking for products, or they think they are, but I'm always saying to them, look, you know, for example, somebody who's selling, I don't want to reveal what somebody's selling my mastermind man, but let's say somebody, you know, for example, somebody wants to buy weight loss products. They're not buying it necessarily for the same reasons either. I mean, somebody might want to buy it in order to fit into their dress for a prom. Somebody else wants to look good in their wedding photos. Somebody else wants to wear it for concerts or whatever. Like, I'm looking at my my partner's concert dresses behind the computer here because I'm working from home today, and yeah, she's always worrying about that. So those are kind of different motivations. One is a sort of personal one, and so that goes a long way, right? But I think what you're doing is you're really looking at the search intent behind the product search term they're putting in, and then you're reverse engineering to their world and the options they have in their world. So I just wanted to pick up on the fact that it's all about the customer or the shopper and the way they perceive the universe, right? Rather than just our widget.
Always. Yeah. People overestimate how smart, well, how informed people are when it comes to buying stuff. Like, you as the seller of your thing know more than 95% of your customers about the thing. They will never know as much as you. They won't even know what those little fancy features mean, and they don't care. Like, I don't know. Like I look at it like this. I don't know how my truck converts fuel into energy inside of that engine to get me going. Right? I didn't buy the truck because I wanted to know all those little nuances and features. I buy it because for a plethora of different reasons. So I think that if people could just narrow in on the reasons they actually want stuff, it just makes it so much easier to sell.
Yeah, that totally makes sense. So tell us a bit more about, let's go in more into detail, because I think sometimes the details can reveal the strategies really clearly. So tell us a bit more about your weight loss supplement, because obviously there are lots of people doing that. I've got a couple of friends in that space, pretty infamous by now, but hey, you know, it's a good example. So tell us a bit more. Say I've got a weight loss. So let's say I'm selling something insanely competitive like Garcinia Cambogia or whatever it's been called. Is that what it's called? Anyway, something like that. And, you know, page one is just chock full of people selling, you know, 150 capsules of whatever milliliters each for $30, right? How am I going to get $70 for my capsules, and what's the approach?
Okay, so what I do is immediately I make sure that the two things before I said I'm differentiated, well, three, I guess, technically differentiated. So why and how am I better, more effective, faster acting, all that stuff, like why and how. Number two, I'm anchoring my price to other things than the other supplements, because all of a sudden, I'm no longer the most expensive. I'm actually far cheaper than going and, you know, spending on a nutritionist or getting a gym, you know, getting a personal trainer contract that, you know, never up using anyway, all that stuff. So I'm going to price anchor to that. And then I'm going to throw everything else. But the three things I would say to deploy immediately in order to pull that kind of thing off. So you're throwing rocks again at the direct competitors, the other sellers of your Garcinia Cambogia, whatever it is, and you're throwing rocks at the other options, which are the treadmill, the nutritionist, the exercise program, the doctor, all that stuff. And most importantly, you're throwing rocks at them doing nothing. Because the cost of them doing nothing is going to be what? They're going to be unhappy, unhealthy, probably going to not be able to see their grandchildren's future, all that stuff. So that's where I hit them.
Okay. So pretty emotional appeal. I like it. Okay. So I think I get some of the basic things that you're doing now. One of the classic ways to improve profit is to make sure that you got a back end sale or selling, you know, selling cross selling or upselling or some other sale based on the initial sale. So obviously that's a hard thing to do on Amazon, but let's talk about general principles first. And then if you can tell us how you would specifically try and make that happen on Amazon, that would be fantastic because that's a hard thing to do, but we all know we should be doing it.
Yeah. So the name of the game, it's been this way for a while, but I don't see people use it as much as they should. It's like getting people off of Amazon. Because at the end of the day, nice because it gives you, it connects you with a lot of customers, but it's not nice because it doesn't actually connect you with them. Like you can't really sell to them directly. So getting them off of Amazon is obviously something that you have to do if you're not already doing, if you want to diversify, because an Amazon business, let's face it, is a Jeff Bezos business at the end of the day. But if you can diversify, even let's say 25% of your business comes off of Amazon, that's awesome. Like that's a big deal because, you know, if something happens, you still have 25% of your business, and it's not that hard to do. It's a matter of just a few things like having a good insert inside of your, inside of whatever you're delivering and that kind of thing. So, as far as getting them to buy more stuff, here's what I think is one of the most underrated, underused things when it comes to selling anything, is there are a percentage here. This like kind of epiphany I had changed my life. There are a percentage of people who will never say no to anything you offer. Okay. So if you start by selling marshmallow roasting sticks, they buy them, and then you sell them a flashlight, buy it. Percentage, because it's just math, okay, are going to convert and buy it. And then you offer them a sleeping bag, they buy it, percentage will. Then you offer them a tent and they buy it. And then you keep going and you get all of a sudden, you get all the way to the point where you're selling them a 38-foot long motorhome. It's just math. You get enough people in there, they buy it, right? So everybody's trying to make money on Amazon. Down at the bottom on these, because you have, you know, programs like ASM that teach you how to sell a $20 to $50 product, blah, blah, blah. And while you can make money that way, it's so much better and easier to make the money on the back end, right? Because the margins are higher, competition's less. And if you do it right, you can avoid the 30-some percent fee if you do it that way.
Excellent. Well, that makes total sense in theory. So I get the theory of that. I mean, it's increasing your average order value for starters, and you know the profitability is going to be off the scale because you've already acquired your customer and all the cost is up front, right? So that's kind of standard stuff. Now, the real question for me is how to do that on Amazon. So what specific let's use tactics. Let's use that dirty word, dude. Tell me how to do this step by step as much as you can without giving away, you know, $2,000 value necessarily on a podcast for free.
Sure.
Persuade you to give away $2,000 value. Please, dude, please give my give my listeners that pleasure. You know? And guys, if you're listening and you're not going to take notes, then you're insane. Come on.
I'm going to lock my door here and make sure Lisa can't get
she
stops me. So the most practical and quickest way to do it is if anybody's listening or watching this and doesn't have an insert already, like in their package that they're delivering, then you're crazy. Make sure to get an insert in there. And especially so whether you're FBA or not, I'm guessing you all want to be if you're not, but it's the best thing ever. Make sure that your insert is inside of a package that Amazon won't see, of course. And then the insert, the whole point of the insert is, number one, to introduce them to you as a company and as a brand and a community, to let them know you're going to take care of them. But number two, you want to get them off of Amazon, right? So we have a Shopify store that we love. We also have, we set up ClickFunnels and have send them through funnels and stuff, all that stuff. You don't have to get too crazy, especially if you're more of a beginner, but the name of the game is getting them off of Amazon, because at the end of the day, that's how you can contact them and offer them new offers for more stuff. And that's how you get them to send up and buy the higher ticket stuff.
Great. Makes total sense. So now how do you try and get the, because as you say, most of us have got inserts in our products. How do we drive a significant percentage of buyers to those off Amazon offers? Because I mean, I've obviously done that in the past. It's quite hard to get the percentage pretty high in my experience and that of my other selling friends as well, including the ones who are doing pretty well, you know, $200,000-$400,000 a month. So that's my first question. How do we actually get them to take action on it rather than look at it and go, oh, that's interesting, and throw it away?
It really comes down to, I think, because I've time and time again where sellers say, well, it doesn't work for me, whatever. And here's what it is the offer is just not very good. So whenever you're crafting an offer, what I say, so it's like they a lot of them try to get product reviews, which is, it's fine. I think that's a good strategy, but what are you offering? Like, this is a Dan Kennedy thing, but when you craft an offer, I don't care if it's an offer to get them to review your product or if it's to buy another thing at a discount, this is what you have to think of. Is this offer good enough that somebody would get out of bed at 3 a.m. in a snowstorm to drive 25 miles to go redeem this? Is it that good? Not if you'd know off the top of your head, like, nope. That's why it's not working. Like it's like some of our offers, like 50% off money. Like we're a lot at a loss, but guess what? We get them, especially consumables, it makes sense, but we get them off of Amazon that way. So I don't care if I have to not make money to get them onto my own list. It's worth it over time for sure.
Okay.
It's a good offer. That's helpful.
Okay. That makes total sense. So a word from our sponsors, Amazing FBA. Yes, I'm sponsoring my own show today. I've got a question for you. Now, I must have spent over £10,000 over the last two decades going from hyped up seminar to a pitch fest. And you know what? I came out of each one excited, determined to change my life. And then I did nothing or very little. And above all, I came out with a zero extra income, came out still broke. My question is, have you ever done that? If so, then I've got news for you. There is one secret that can really get you results that pretty much all successful Amazon sellers I know do. And if you want to know what it is, I'll tell you what it is in a minute, or you can go to amazonmastermind.co.uk, and the clue is in the title, right? So what I'm going to tell you about is only relevant to those who live in London or near London or can get to London. When I say London, I mean London, England, not Alabama or wherever it is if you're in America. If you can't get to London, then keep listening. There will be something later in the show that I can mention for you. Basically, the masterminds that I've been running have been very powerful for people, but we've revised and revamped them in response to people's needs. So they're really, really powerful now because they're focused on exactly who you are and what you need right now. So we have two levels now, and we'll split them further if that proves to be necessary. The Zero to Hero Mastermind is for those who have not yet launched on Amazon or are in the first, you know, few hundred, couple of thousand pounds of sales. And that's grown like topsy over the last sort of 30 days. We've gone from nobody over sort of the last 30, 40 days to 20 odd members. And then we have the 7K Collective, which is much smaller, only seven members. But collectively, they already have Amazon turnover of about £7 million a year. And that is probably really understating it as well. It could well be over 10 million, but I'm being conservative there. So some powerful stuff for you if you're doing over 10K. If you're not, then the Zero to Hero Mastermind is for you. Now, the reasons to come to this are the kind of opposites to go to those pitch fests and to go to drink from the fire hose on the internet that is Facebook groups and podcasts. And I include my own in that. Three reasons to come, folks. Clarity. Instead of the fire hose of the internet, you focus laser-like on you and your business. So once a month, you're going to be in a small room with a small group of people focusing for at least half an hour on you and your business in your hot seat. Really powerful, very simple, very effective. Second thing you're going to get is confidence, because you can check the plans that you have in your head and get them out there and bulletproof them, test them or waterproof them, make sure that they're actually doable in the real world. So you can go away and act with confidence. And the third thing is connection. So it's all very well being in a Facebook group, but there's nothing like being face to face to actually connect to people. Plus, all the people in the rest of your life, you know, wife, girlfriend, son, daughter, a mother, co-workers, they don't really get the whole Amazon thing in most cases. And in some cases, they're even opposed to it. So that's a lonely business. What you need is fellow Amazon sellers in person to connect to. That's what's on offer here. Very simple, very powerful. People obviously loving it because they're going for it. So go to amazonmastermind.co.uk if you want to find out more, and you can apply from there as well. It's application only because I only want the high caliber people, and that's what we've got. And the price is going up over time. I've now got rid of the beta testing price for both levels of groups because we've got the sort of base level of people that the thing is now going to be self-sustaining. So now I want to be ever more selective. So if you want to consider it, get moving on that quickly before the price goes up again. AmazonMastermind.co.uk. Thanks for listening.